up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepa. What's popping, boys?
How we doing, boys? Good to see you.
Great seeing you, boys, as always. How we doing?
Houdini, you all right? You look like mad, like you're a little red. How's your day been?
I mean, dude, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, it's just one of those days. It gets like 5 people on a Sunday, and you're just like, shit.
Oh, all right.
You should have watched the Masters to relax, Dino.
I did watch the Masters, and it annoyed me even more.
I was going to say, I don't know if that was a lot of relaxing.
No, he's so good, dude. Like, Scottie Scheffler is so good.
He's the truth.
Scottie Scheffler wins the 2024 Masters. He put on a masterful performance. He won by a pretty sizable lead with 4 strokes. What did you guys think of the tournament?
I don't know if I liked this Masters or I hated it. Part of me loved watching Augusta absolutely destroy people's self-esteem for 4 rounds of golf. The projected cut line after day one was like +4, and it ended up being +6. I was like, oh my God, you just have to play solid golf. I don't think Scheffler played perfect golf by any stretch of the imagination, but compared to the field, all he had to do was play his game. He played a really solid tournament, and I will argue that you're beginning to see like the coming out party of Scottie Scheffler being talked about as one of the greatest.
Yeah, he's on a heater. I haven't seen a heater like this since Jordan Spieth. Early in his career when he won, I think, like 3 majors out of like 6 or 7. It was some crazy run. And I think Scheffler is even better. He just completely walked away from the field. You're right, Dino, on a course that was very, very difficult. It was difficult early in the tournament. There was a little stretch there where it was a little soft because they got rain. I think it was day one. But the course really tightened up, and it started to make professionals and the best golfers in the world look like amateurs sometime. And even while all that's going on, Scottie is just dominating. If you watched Sunday, did either of you watch today?
I did.
I didn't. I was at work all day.
At no point in the entire round, other than when they teed off and they were he was 1 stroke ahead, was it close. Like, even whenever stuff was going on, he was hitting some bad shots, he immediately came back with a birdie on a lot of holes. It just completely dominated the back nine then.
I mean, golfers just get paid so much money, too. I mean, it blows my mind. Full Swing, the Netflix docuseries, really put that in perspective for me. But even Scheffler here, he's going home with $3.6 million for one day of work. And not literally. I know that they practice.
4 days.
Yeah. But, like, I know they practice and all that stuff, and I get that. But, I mean, still. That's a lot of money, man. I mean, and I know only one person goes home with it, but even like second, third place, like they're going home with, you know, nice, you know, some serious coin here. I mean, I don't understand how much money is in golf, which is crazy. And I just wanted to know, is LIV Golf, do they even make more money there? Because I know there's like contracts and stuff there.
Dude, it's not even close.
Yeah, Liv, that was like the big draw for all these guys was A, guaranteed paychecks. Even if you finish in DFL, you got $40,000. But the payouts is what, you know, the huge bonuses, but it was the massive amounts to win a tournament. And that's what made the PGA started bumping up their purses.
Well, did Mickelson and like Dustin Johnson, did they get a contract to come over, or was it just a signing bonus to join their league? So it's like they can dip whenever they want.
Welcome to LIV. I'm sure there were some stipulations behind it, but like the LIV and the PGA will merge. Like it's gonna happen. So those guys that left are basically getting a free paycheck from LIV. Like, yeah,
it's good. And if you're Rory McIlroy, you're really pissed.
No, go take a look at Phil Mickelson's net worth before LIV and then after he signed with LIV.
It tripled.
It's disgusting. But I will say, final thought about Scheffler. If he can become a dominant putter, because I don't think he's a good putter. He just happens to stick balls so freaking close to pins. But if he can become a dominant putter, I think he will be discussed as one of the best of all time. I think he's a, I think he's I think he's a good putter, but like in comparison to Tiger in his prime, you know what I mean?
So what has started this with a hot streak? Because I think he's won like four out of his last five tournaments. It's something ridiculous, the heater that he's on right now. Rory McIlroy, of all people, in a practice round, Scotty was struggling. He wasn't,
my bad.
I didn't know if we cut. Rory McIlroy, of all people, in a practice round, commented to Scotty, hey, I think you should try out a mallet putter. It's a different style of putter. It's a little bit heavier. The next week, he wins a tournament and starts this heater. So like if he ends up passing Rory as far as majors, I think Rory's only got four or five majors and he's still looking for the Masters win. He may have been his own worst enemy in giving this this one little tip to kind of start it all for Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even talked about it too. I mean, did you see what Dave Portnoy did?
Dave Portnoy made the third most amount of money at the Masters this weekend.
Crazy. He continues to hit these bets. I mean, someone needs to start investigating him. I'm joking. I love Dave Portnoy, owner of Barstool Sports. I mean, he's doing something right, though. He bet $300K that Scottie Scheffler would win. He's walking home with $1.6 million. He's walking. He did the same thing with Michigan, too, for the national championship. I think he won like $1 million, too, there. So, I mean, he's been winning.
UConn, too. That's what I mean. He said Michigan, UConn, and this. I mean, talk about reinvesting your winnings and absolutely crushing it.
And he might have done the Super Bowl, I believe, too. I would have to double check that, but I'm sure he bet on it because he seems to bet on any big major sport event. There's a lot of stuff in the baseball world that's come out in the last few days, and we'll start with the biggest one of them all. Spencer Strider's out for the year with Tommy John surgery, obviously the ace of the Atlanta Braves and the favorites to win the NL East. How do the Braves bounce back from this? Well, they don't have a choice for one. Let's just put that out of the way. But I think that this is a really big, hit the panic button because it's this early on in the season. And this rotation is filled with question marks based on health. Max Fried, injury problems in the past. Chris Sale's been hurt the past 5 years. Who knows what you're going to get out of him? Charlie Morton's on the tail end of his career. They have Ronaldo Lopez, but again, flip a coin, and then now I guess you're going to call up Ian Anderson, if I had to guess, and he's been up and down in the minors because he hasn't performed well in the major leagues. So I'm hitting the panic button for sure. I think that they need to call Bauer. They need to make a trade. They need something because they're not going to last long in the postseason. I do think that they get by the NL East division. They can withstand that with their offense that's loaded, but if they want to make a postseason run, they need someone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% hitting the panic button. You're talking about a 20-game winner, potential Cy Young. I think he was my pick for Cy Young. So I am definitely hitting the panic button here. It's hard to replace 20 games. Like if you do the Moneyball aspect of it, even if you bring three guys in to start in that role, are you going to be able to go 20-8 with those three guys over the course of the season? I don't think so. It's unfortunate. I did like their chances in a 7-game set in October with Strider throwing probably three of them. So I think you're right, Jedi. I think you're kind of looking at do they actually, I don't even know. Do they hold off the Phillies now? I don't know. I really don't. I think their lineup is loaded, but when pitching comes at a premium, obviously they're going to be buyers at the deadline and names will pop up throughout the season where, yeah, this guy's available, whatever. But talking about missed opportunities with Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, just missed opportunities there. And I think they're paying the price.
Yeah. I think the offense is going to have to carry him. Jedi, you had said that perfectly. When you invest so heavily in offense, like they have in times like these, where, your star ace pitcher goes down, the offense has to pick it up. They're going to have to win games by scoring 6, 7, 8 runs. Maybe Charlie Morton every once in a while throws a gem or Ronaldo Lopez does, but consistently on a nightly basis, it's going to have to be the offense. I do disagree with you though, Jedi. I think this just opens the door for the Phils. Give me Wheeler and Nola against them in a 7-game set. The Braves staff just doesn't scare me anymore. Strider was guaranteed to dominate a game or two in a series. Just they don't have it anymore.
I don't know. I just think that the Braves in postseason baseball always do excel, but the pitching concern does worry me a lot. I don't know. I think that they can get by in the NL East. I don't think that they can go get by a Dodgers in the postseason like they have in the past. They've dominated them. I don't think that they get by them at all without Strider. I don't know. It's like, it's panic time.
Like, let's definitely. Let's not even look towards the playoffs, right? You take 20 wins away from that team, right? You're like, that's a bare minute. You're taking 20 wins away from a starting pitcher. Plain and simple. Where do you replace those 20 wins? Where are they going to be at the All-Star break? If they're 5, 6, 7, 8 games back, I don't even know what to do at that point. But you can't sell your season just because you lost your ace. Their offense is too good.
Does he come back next year, like right away? Like, that's pushing. I know TJ surgeries have improved, you know, tremendously, but I feel like that would be pushing. You're not trying to push your, you know, cornerstone franchise piece back too soon. The Yanks are waiting on Cole. You know, it wasn't TJ, but they're really giving him the time because they know how important he is. Houdini, you brought up a good point, and this will be my last point too. The trade deadline. They're going to be in the race. Like, the Braves are way too talented offensively to not be in this race. Who's going to be available, and do they, you know, not fully mortgage the farm on it, but maybe a tiny bit, knowing, you know, they could sign that person while also having Strider too.
It'll definitely be interesting. It's going to be a run for their money with the Phils and Braves. This division has gotten even more competitive now. The Braves have been running it for a while, but now with Strider down, it's definitely going to be a lot more of a competition if the Phillies can stay healthy too. But speaking of the Phillies, though, Bryce Harper wore the old Fanatics uniform last night when the Phillies wore their home alternate jerseys. This is really bad when a player goes out of their way to wear an old uniform that is not licensed by the MLB anymore. You know these uniforms are horrendous. And it's crazy that they haven't fixed them yet.
I don't think they're going to. They've printed way too many of them. I was listening to... It was Kirk Cousins on a podcast with, oh man, I don't even remember, but he comes in to the Falcons, and I know it's not baseball or Fanatics or anything like that, but I'm going to give you some insight here. Who wears number 8? Is it Pitts?
Oh, yeah, it's Kyle Pitts. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Did you see this story?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It was with Shaq. It was on the podcast, and he told Pitts, like, let's swap. And Pitts was like, that's fine. Like, I don't even want to wear 8 anymore. Like, I'll just give you 8. So they notify the league of the jersey change. And the league's like, no, like, we've printed so many of these jerseys. You need to pay for the jerseys
and make it. And
he's
it.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. He's like, okay, well, like, how many is it? He's like, he didn't give the exact number, but it's like a couple $100,000. And Shaq was like, no way I'm paying that. So he was like, fine, I'll just keep number 8. But if you're talking about the MLB right now, getting rid of all of those jerseys, you're talking about the inventory of every single team, every single shop, everything. It's going to cost them tens of millions of dollars. It's not going to happen.
Like, fade them out. You know what I mean? Like, make changes now, and then, like, eventually by September, they'll be normal.
Honestly, the only change I get that – I know we were clowning him on this podcast too, like the pants, the shirts getting in, tucked into the pants. Like, there are plenty of flaws in these jerseys, but the biggest one to me is the last names and the font or whatever style that they use is just way too small. Like, when you see it from a decent, you know, TV angle, it's so hard to see the last name. Just make it a little bigger last name for, you know, a minor fix, and then figure it out in the offseason.
I just think it's crazy that no one stopped when they were going through these so-called testings that Manfred said, saying it's the best athletic wear that any sports has. Like, I find that really hard to believe.
Garbage.
Like, no one stopped them and was like, hey, let's think about this for a second. We can see through them. The pants you could see through. The pants rip. And the jerseys look like they're made for a T-ball team.
The text is small on all the jerseys. The numbers look weird.
No one stopped and said anything. Like, I just find that so hard to believe.
So, yeah, no, my biggest flaw with the jerseys is I was at the Marlins-Angels game. And the left fielder for the Angels is Ward?
Could be.
Sounds right. Maybe Joe Adell. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Ward. The back of his jersey in the 7th inning was dark, dark gray. The front of his jersey was like pristine gray. And nobody else's jersey looked like that. So the sweat changing the color of the grays is horrible. Is a horrible look when you get to the playoffs, especially when it's cold. You don't want that wet carpet on your back.
Oh, great point. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Playoff baseball? Yeah, no, thank you. How do you say this guy's name again? Ipe
the translator.
Ipe, Otani's translator, was charged with bank fraud theft of over $16 million. So he made about 19,000 wages from December 2021 to January 2024, winning about $142 million, but he lost $182 million, which means he had a net loss of $40 million. How do you lose $40 million? Bro, learn to stop. Oh my gosh.
I got one question. How does he have so much money? If it's only 16 mil that he funneled from Shohei, where the hell is all this money coming from?
Other people. Maybe he's a translator for other people. I have no idea.
Dude, he might just be on like a heater and like he just won a ton of money too.
I did the math the other day. It's really impressive how many wagers this dude could put in.
That's what I was saying. 19,000 is a lot.
Yeah. So over 3 years, right? And just so you understand, hold on a second. Just so I can pull it up. 19,000 divided by 3 is 6,300 bets in a year. Divided by 365, it's 17 wagers a day. There are – hold on, dude. It gets worse.
Right? Every day.
Every day. Right? Every single day. If you think about it, right, how many times are the four major sports in the U.S. running? And I'll include 5 with college basketball and 6 with college football as well. How many months are those 6 running at the exact same time? Because one? The reason.
No, a couple.
A couple. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is because football is a week sport. So it's one day a week. So you want to throw like $12,000 a game on like an NFL game? Like, cool, I get it. But when you get into that prime time, like November, when you have all 6 going, because the World Series is about wrapping up at that time, he's probably betting 150 events a day. That's not including player props or anything. I think I'm more impressed of how he's tracking all of these bets.
He's not.
Yeah, he couldn't be. That's how he's losing $40 million.
That's how he lost $40 million. He saw the odds and was like, I'll go for that. Even probably knowing what it was.
I know, but that's the part that's even crazier to me. Is like that is so impressive to do. For anyone who bets $10, let alone his average bet was like $2,200 or $12,000 or whatever it was, dude. Like that's absurd. I know he's betting Japanese freaking baseball. I know he's betting that stuff. I know he's betting everything under the sun, but dude,
he's like, definitely betting Russian hockey. Russian hockey.
Slamming like, the KHL.
Anything he could, anything he could see, or not see, but you know, put in through his book, because the book clearly marked him as like, yeah, this guy is an addict. Clearly has no control over what he can bet or his finances. He's loaded. They just milked him for everything he had.
Yeah, I support the book. Even though it's illegal, I support the book, dude. If you have a guy like that who says, I'm not too good at this gambling thing, huh? And is like laughing, dude, you're gone. At what point as a gambler are you sitting there looking at your finances like, dude, like I'm down 10 mil?
It's an addiction. Like maybe you don't.
No, I know, dude. No, you do. Because what's he do? He's probably going to be like, okay, well, I put a couple – $15,000 parlays in, I'll trim it back down to 5 and then I'm good. Next thing you know, you're down 25 mil. At a certain point, you got to be like, dude, Shohei, I screwed up, man.
At what million? Yeah.
I mean, I think that I know people have said in our comment section that they're like, they're doing the math on how much money Otani has and saying, look, he could easily have not known that $4 million was there. Now this number is 16. I find it very hard to believe that you don't notice $16 million out of your account, even though it goes out over periodically. He obviously didn't just be like, all right, I'll take $16 million. Well, it was over a period of time, but still. Still, that's crazy.
I'll give Shohei the benefit of the doubt of he's got way more than one account. He's probably got 10 or 15 accounts with all of them having hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in them. So he's not a normal person. You know, he's not going onto his banking app on his phone and checking how many millions he has. Like, he's got a money guy. I think it's more incriminating of the money people not knowing what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever reaching out and being like, hey, what'd you spend that $500,000 on? And then you pulled out another $300,000. Just curiously, like, it's your money, but what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. For tax purposes too. Don't, like, you have to know like what you're spending your money on or no?
Over a certain limit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even over the course of like a couple years, that's still a couple mil a year that is just completely ghosted.
I mean, Ohtani was clearly taken advantage of here. I mean, how long is this dude going to go to jail for, the translator here? Like, I mean, what's the minimum sentence? He has to go to jail, right? Like, there's no way out of that.
Oh, yeah, there's jail time. It's wire fraud and illegally doing it, too. Yeah, it's
bad. I mean, how long are you thinking?
I mean, it's still a white-collar crime. It's one that they're not trying to have people do. I think he's probably getting at least 10 to 12 years. And, you know, oh, yeah. And then if he, you know, on good parole, he'll be out in a couple. I mean,
he's gonna flee the country.
It's theft of $16 million at the minimum.
He's gonna flee the country.
Then there's wire fraud, and then it's across the across state lines. Like, this is federal felonies.
He's gonna pull a Wander Franco and be MIA.
This isn't a slap on the wrist, right? Like, this is bad.
Yeah, I don't know, but he only posted bond for like $30K. It wasn't even that much.
Did he have the money?
Yeah, paid it right away. He's out. My guess is he should go to a country that doesn't extradite, like Thailand. No.
Well, I mean, I don't know where the investigation goes on this for MLB's sake with Ohtani, because I just don't think that everything that's coming out, I don't know how you point any fingers at Ohtani there. It seems like he was just taken advantage of, but we'll make sure to keep you up to date if anything does changes on those matters. Andrew McCutchen hit his 300th career home run today, a milestone for the legendary Pittsburgh Pirate. Quick question here. I feel like I already know the answer. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
I knew. Oh, my God. I knew you were going to ask this. And DePaul came with facts. You know I love facts more than anything right here. All right. Here's the list for 2,000 hits, 400 doubles, 45 triples, 300 homers, and 200 stolen bases. It's a little long, but he's on there with like 12 other names. All right. There's 12 other people in the history of the game that have put up a stat line like that in their career. He's darn right a Hall of Famer. What he did for Pittsburgh, absolutely.
Can you name a few?
All right. Well, yeah, I thought it was a little bit – I didn't want to know all of it. Hank Aaron, Carlos Beltran, Barry Bonds, George Brett, Joe Carter, Andre Dawson, Reggie Jackson, Willie Mays, Frank Robinson, Larry Walker, Dave Winfield.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. What was his career batting average?
275.
I was going to say, it's not 300, but yeah, like that's pretty close.
He has an MVP. I'm going to say no, he's not a Hall of Famer. He has a 48 war, which I really don't like, because usually the minimum is a 60 war for any Hall of Famer. Look, he's the Hall of Fame of the very good, but not good enough to be in the Hall.
Ouch, Jedi.
I would love to know.
I mean, he's a oh, go ahead, Dina.
Can we find the war for Wally Pipp?
Probably. Baseball Reference does everything.
Because it should be negative 6,000 because he was replaced by Lou Gehrig, right?
That's awesome.
Isn't that who replaced him?
His war is 31.
Impossible.
Wally, all right, Wally.
He was traded to the Cincinnati Reds and played there.
All right, kid.
Was it Lou Gehrig that came in over him? Is that who it was?
Sounds about, it's the same year, so yeah.
Yeah, Wally Pipp had a headache one night, couldn't play. So they started a rookie named Lou Gehrig.
Wow.
Wins above replacement, my ass.
Lou Gehrig has a war of 113.
Oh my goodness.
So 100 over.
So Houdini, what were you going with? Andrew McCutchen is?
I'm still going to say no. I think he's had a remarkable career. The batting average gets me a little bit, you know. I feel like the numbers are when you rattle off that list, right, DePaul, like, it's very, very convincing. But there's some guys on there that aren't in the Hall of Fame for certain reasons. right? Whether it's steroids or whatever it is, right? Some guys on that list aren't in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know if McCutchen gets in. I think he'll probably get some decent votes, but I don't think he gets to 75%. I mean, if Jeter didn't get unanimous, then like I don't see how McCutchen gets 75%.
I mean, yeah. Jeets got screwed over by a guy with a vendetta, but I don't think he's a first ballot. No, but I think once you put those names together of the company that he's up with, regardless if he hit 275 or not, he still put up all of those other stats. He was a cornerstone of a franchise in Pittsburgh. That I will say the only negative I think about it is the teams didn't win very much with him. Obviously, there's a myriad of reasons for that, but he only had one or two good runs with Pittsburgh.
I also would say the problem with it now is that his numbers are just going to continue to decline. So we're talking about 275 batting average. That's going to go down this year. He's not batting 275. The OPS is going to go down on the career. And I think that even if he continues to add to his career hits, his career batting average, OPS, on-base percentage is all going to take a toll, especially that on-base percentage, which is kind of like his big key thing there. When he was in his prime, his on-base percentage was like in the 400s. That was like the big thing. He was like the on-base machine.
Yeah, I will tell you, like, the MVP, the five-time All-Star, the Gold Glove, like, that definitely helps his case. But he could just be one of those guys that falls victim to Father Time, and the more he's playing, yeah, he's accomplishing accolades, but at the same time, he's also hurting his stats. So I don't think he gets in. I do think he gets some votes, though.
The Arizona Coyotes are leaving Arizona and heading to Salt Lake City. Pretty big move. Good for the city. This is going to be the first hockey team in the city. I'm wondering if they're going to become a huge sports city. Right now they have the Utah Jazz, but they're reportedly maybe getting a baseball team. That's one of the big parts, one of the big spots that they're thinking about right there. Are there any other teams? No football yet, right?
No, college football.
No, like I'm saying NFL. Like there's no rumors about that yet. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, do you think that this could be the next big sports city? I mean, baseball might be heading there. You have a hockey team now. They have a respectable college football team.
So let's start with two aspects. First of all, Arizona gets their team from Winnipeg back in the day. Winnipeg loses their team. Atlanta Thrashers ended up replacing them in Winnipeg. And Arizona becomes one of those cities that has four sports. It's really sad that the Arizona Coyotes failed. There was a time where I thought they could have rebranded, maybe like uniforms, arena.
Their logo is so cool.
They could have done a lot of things, but there wasn't enough interest. And where I think they get a bad rap is they didn't move. I'm sorry. They weren't an expansion team. They moved from Winnipeg. So if they would have had the new school expansion team rules, would have been extremely different scenario for them. This is a home run for Salt Lake City. Obviously, the Coyotes go from playing in a college hockey stadium. You know, the Mullet Arena fits like 7,500 people with Arizona State. So they get an NHL arena. I'm not sure if the Utah Jazz owners are planning on just keeping the arena and making it a dual sport thing. I hope they do. But that it's a home run for Salt Lake City. I think I've never been there. I want to go. Now it's more of a selling point. And I just think the Arizona Coyotes needed a restart. But I even read an article that, you know, the NHL is not ready to give up on Arizona yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona became an expansion team, which would just be stupid because you could have just done an expansion team in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I think personally, I think it's inevitable that they're going to Salt Lake. I think they're definitely going. To answer your question, Jedi, I do think this is going to be like the next big sports city. If in the matter of 10 years, you can pull two major North American sport franchises to come to your city when you all you had was basketball, like you're getting two bona fide legit sports to come to your town. I think that's huge. It's growing massively too. So there's a lot of new people coming into Salt Lake City. I think it's great. You're talking about wanting to visit it, Dino. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you've never seen Salt Lake City or seen pictures of it, it's right nestled in the mountains. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
I think it's home run if they go there. Yeah.
I was just there. It was probably, honestly, one of my favorite cities to visit just for, like, the views of it. Not necessarily, like, the most exciting of, like, things to do, but to go around and look at it. The Salt Flats are one of the coolest things in the world.
No, Depot, it's official.
Oh, it is official.
Yeah.
The last thing that I saw was the NHL was making plans just in case. And there was, you know, they were saying they were going to let the Coyotes know at the end of the regular season.
Oh, no. The players have already been notified they're moving to Salt Lake. Yeah.
That's great. I love it.
It happened quick.
Yeah, because really, I mean, just really that was a day or two ago. I saw that report that they were drawing up contingency plans if they were to leave, and then boom, you know, less than a day later.
I mean, the big question though, I saw that they have a $3 billion stadium. It looks like in the works in Salt Lake City. Their stadium in Arizona, I believe, is like, I think I saw it was like $150 million, somewhere around there. They played in front of 2,500 people. I mean, do you think they're going to play in front of more people than that? Well, this new stadium hold a few extra people, hopefully.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, I mean, look, like they tore down their original stadium, didn't they?
Yeah, that's why they were playing in Mullet. Yeah.
Yeah, so they tore down their original stadium. Once again, the Arizona Coyotes got a shit deal from the NHL. Are they gonna change their name, go new uniforms and all that stuff, kind of make it feel like an expansion? Because that's what was so cool about the Kraken was the. And the Knights was the jersey unveiling. Even though I hate the expansion draft, I think it allows a little more competitive balance. I just think Vegas got like gift wrapped an entire franchise.
Yeah, a complete start as a brand new franchise. And I hope you're right, Dino. I hope they change the name. I hope they go full rebrand. And what I hope they do is what they did with Seattle, even though it was expansion. I hope they treat it like this expansion. They let the fans decide. They had the fans decide, you know, the main color scheme. They had the fans decide the logo and the team name. You know, there's some general oversight of what it gets selected, but let the fans decide it. This is a brand new franchise coming in. They've never had professional hockey in the state. I think this would be a home run to let the fans do it.
It'd be very cool if they allowed them to do that, but
and I do hope they change the name too. I think that you got to get rid of the Coyotes. You got to rebrand it completely.
I mean, it makes sense if they're going to be moving to Salt Lake City, but their uniforms are so cool. The logo of the Coyotes. Are you a fan of them or no?
Well, they rebranded their uniform a little bit, and it got worse in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't like them. I don't like the maroon.
Well, that about does it here for us at Hot Shots. Make sure to follow us on social media at Hot Shots Podcast to follow up with all the latest sports news. Until then, we'll talk to you next time.